Hello and welcome to the Mental Wealth and Wellness Podcast. My name is Jenna Knapp and I'm an artist, space holder, and neuro-linguistic programming trainer living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I'm so grateful to collapse time and space to be reaching you wherever you're at in the world today. Here on this podcast, you can expect to take your mental health to the next level, which I like to call mental wealth, by reconnecting with your subconscious mind and all the answers that you already have inside of you. I'm so excited to dive into today's episode with you, so let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode. If you are someone who is on Instagram and we are friends on that platform, you might have seen in the past week I have been doing a new series called 30 Truths Before 30. And I wanted to bring this onto the podcast because it all stems from me finding a list. When I was 18, I made an 18 before 18 list, and then while I was 18, I ended up making my 30 before 30, which is so funny because, like, why would I know what I want to do before I'm 30 at age 18? And within the list, you can just see how conditioned and influenced I am by all of my surroundings in what I think I'm going to want by that age. And so it kind of has inspired this project that I want to do of, like, reclaiming that list, because I have done some of the things I have no interest in doing at all, but I feel like it's a super interesting reflection on time. And I know I'm always talking about timelines and future timelines and going back and releasing stuff from the past, so it's like a way for me to connect with my 18-year-old self and, like, work with her and nurture her and love her through what she thought she wanted and into, like, what's true for me now. So I've decided to reclaim that list and reclaim it in not the form of, like, doing things, like all of the things that were listed before were, like, have this accomplished by 30, like actions mostly. But now I'm reclaiming it in a series, 30 Truths Before 30. And honestly, like, truths is a fancy word that I'm choosing to use for beliefs, right? Because as a neuro-linguistic programming master practitioner and trainer, we talk a lot about values and beliefs and working with the subconscious mind for behaviors and patterns and mindsets, all of those things. But one of my favorite interchangeable words for beliefs is truths. Right? Because it shows up in our language when we say, I believe this to be true, or I know that this is true, or this is true because, right? You can have, like, a complex equivalence attached to it where we can have something be true to us because we have the evidence for it, whether that is something really, like, raw and factual or something more emotional we collect evidence for. So it's something that I've been using in my personal life more often, is reframing hots is in my vocabulary, I guess, reframing the concept of beliefs into truths, and knowing that those truths that we have are what operate our life, right? So I am in no way moving through this with an already made list. I'm really taking it day by day and using it as an act of celebration of, like, as I lead up to 30, like, really looking at my life and identifying, like, what do I believe to be true? Because a lot of times when I do belief work on myself, or I'm having, you know, a practitioner who also has access to these tools and can guide me through something, hold space for me, it's like, we do belief work in these tiny little microcosms of a situation or a certain area of our life. But to sit down day after day and to like hit my morning journal while I'm drinking my coffee and be like, what is true for me? As I go into 30, like what beliefs, what truths do I want to take with me into 30 feels really sacred. So I'm having a really fun doing this, really fun time doing this. And I wanted to bring it onto the podcast just to talk a little bit about it because I know that it can become an example. I'm going to share what the list was from 18, and I know it can become an example for how we all have rerouted our lives away from what society wanted for us in certain ways, right? In some ways, I think that, you know, if it felt aligned for you, you fell into societal standards. But in other ways, you might have taken a sharp left, right? Or a hard right, or a U-turn and gone in the other direction. So let this all be an example for you, right? And if any of the things that I say resonate with you and you think like, whoa, that really relates to me, the prompt that I want to give you for this, I almost called it a call, for this podcast today is to think of what rules do you want to live by instead? What beliefs do you want to live by instead? What truths do you want to live by instead? And are you living out the beliefs and the truths and the rules that society gave to you, or are they ones that you have chosen for yourself? And I think sometimes I'm really excited to be doing this project because sometimes we don't even know, right? Like we can live our life and we can embody who we are, but to like really sit down and look at like, what about how I am being in this chapter of my life holds beliefs or truths? Like if I break it down, like what is it really? So this whole project series is allowing me to look at my life even closer, and I'll give some examples of like what I've been coming up with, and also I'll invite you to follow along on Instagram. And I'm definitely gonna be doing a couple of podcasts this month as we lead up to my birthday, which is in July, when I'll be turning 30, just to kind of highlight a few of the truths, because there's definitely some spaces I want to dive deeper into that the algorithm doesn't give enough room for. But let's go ahead and read that post together just so that I can break down for you which ones from this list really stood out to me as I'm like looking back on myself. And you might feel this way if you're the type of person who like kept a journal or find any kind of relics from your 17, 18, 19 year old self. To be able to look back and just see, you can see directly like what was influencing you. Just like we'll be able to do 10 years from now, looking back on this age, we'll be able to see what media we were taking in, what people we were surrounded by. You know, was church influencing us? Was our school influencing us? Was the political system influencing us, right? It can become so clear based on who we are surrounded by. And that's why who we surround ourselves with is so, so important. So here's the post. I post a picture of the list above in a slide on Instagram. I say, let's be honest, I didn't accomplish a lot of the things on this list. Looking back, I can see I was writing the things that I thought would make me successful and happy based on what I was influenced by at the formative age of 18. I could see my desire to travel and have adventure because of my Auntie Anne's stories from her trips around the world. I could see my desire to connect with and inspire strangers because of how the project Post Secret changed my life in high school. And that was where my desire to send mail to strangers came from. I could see my dedication to having a kick-ass living space because I felt the freedom of being able to design and paint my own room as a kid and knew the possibilities of being able to do the same with a whole home. I saw the belief that health can only look like a gym membership because of this fitness center I always used to drive past. Talk about subliminal influence for that one. I see the timeline to be married to a man, which was honestly the only option that I had given myself at that time, that I'd meet in college because of all the art kids telling me I would meet Mr. Jenanap at Myad. That became like a big inside joke during my senior year of high school. And then I can also see the art world understanding that I would, quote unquote, need my master's degree in order to be successful, because that's the only way you can teach, exhibit, etc. All of this before even beginning my undergrad, I had the understanding of, like, I would need to go on to that level. The power of influence shapes our values, beliefs, self-image, and self-talk so deeply, especially when we're younger. So for these next 30 days, I'm reclaiming this list and sharing 30 of my personal truths as I enter into my 30s. I'm so excited to anchor into my inner wisdom by declaring and reflecting upon what's true for me now. You're invited to come along for the ride, because you know I'll be dropping life coach perspective gems all along the way. So in that post too, it's such an important thing to reflect on and connect with, that we are sponges when we are kids. From age 0 to 7, we are truly a walking subconscious mind. We are just soaking things up. We're like in a constant state of hypnosis. So we're taking things in. But when we reach our teenage years, those are really formative, because those are the modeling years, where we're literally looking to people that we want to model after, and we're forming our identities. We're figuring out what traits we want to embody. And it was so clear to me, like I said, like, I could see one of my biggest role models was my Auntie Anne and the way that she traveled and had freedom. I obviously wanted art to be part of my future, with the idea of, like, okay, well, it was a tangible thing. At the time, I didn't even let myself write down, like, I want to have an art exhibition, because I had already had the idea in my mind that, like, that's a starving artist lifestyle. So I chose something that could be profitable and marketable, which is publishing a children's book, all while understanding I would still need to go on to my master's degree, and that after that would probably be when I would exhibit. Which is so untrue. I've had so many exhibits since I graduated from MIAD, while I was even still in MIAD, right? I've had residencies, I won a fellowship, like all these things that just totally debunk that. But I didn't even let myself put things I really wanted on that list because of what I thought, what I believed I could or couldn't do. And I wonder if, while listening to all of this, you have any of your own memories coming up with that. And obviously for me, a big, big, big one is meet my husband, right? It wasn't even an option to be queer in my mind, even though I had wondered if I liked my best friend from like age 10 and beyond. Like, I had little weird thoughts in the back of my head, weird thoughts that I called weird at the time, now that I know are very normal, but I would make them to be like, oh, that's just a weird thought, like, and shoo it away. You know, even though that was there, I didn't put on my list, like, find my true self or, like, explore my identity. And I admire kids these days, teens these days, who literally have, like, the terminology for something like questioning, where they get to kind of just see who they are and experiment and try on different identities and have an environment that's safe to do so. But because the whole art room told me that I would meet Mr. Jenna Knapp at MIAD and it was this whole thing, I started to believe that too. I know one truth about myself is that I'm very impressionable, so I have to be careful about what impressions me. And when I look back on this, I can just see, like, I was soaking up what people wanted for me. And I'm grateful to be doing this reflection, because I see now that I've taken all these things I know about myself and I have begun to embrace them. I say begun because I feel like there's still so much more to do, so much more fun to have, so much deeper to go. And just giving ourselves permission to really expand into who we want to be without the influence, it takes some unlearning, because the amount of time from age 0 to 7, and then 7 to 14, and 14 to 21, when we're entering into socialization periods too. Like, we have to deprogram 21 years worth of being who we thought we needed to be. At least for us folks who didn't quite have examples of, you know, queer identities, and there was no good representation in the media at the time. So it's like for us folks who just miss that wave, right? Like, be patient with yourself and know that it's okay if certain things take time. And if you feel this fraction of like, oh, I am just scratching the surface of this part of myself, and I can't wait to dedicate the next 10, 20, 30 years of my life to exploring this, that is so beautiful. And let that be a huge permission slip to just know that you are still at the start of your journey. If you're awakening to all this understanding about the subconscious mind and how certain things have been programmed for you, and how you maybe have adopted other people's beliefs and you haven't really chosen what you want to believe for yourself, you are in the primal place of just realizing that, right? And just letting it sink in. And then you're going to be able to activate that, alchemize that, and really start to get clear on who do you want to be. And that can be a very fun place to be. But it can also be a lot to take in at once. So I'm here to tell you that it's okay if that change happens slowly. It's okay if you take your time. It's okay if you need some extra integration. So I'd love to know what stood out for you from this, what was relatable, and did any memories come back for you about what you thought you wanted for yourself at that age? And if you're a younger listener and you are at that age now, I would love to know, what do you want for yourself at 30? I look forward to being back with you again soon, but until then, please know that you are the best person to locate the truths in your life, the rules for your life, the beliefs for your life, and how you want to live. You get to decide what you want to live by and who and what you want to live for. And I hope living for yourself is at the top of that list. Talk to you soon. Have a beautiful rest of your day. I love you.